Good morning and welcome to worship here at St. Matthew's. It's our podcast service. It's the first time I've ever done one of these, but those of you at St. Matthew's have had this done for the last 20 years where the gospel and the sermon has been recorded and sent out to our shut-ins. And so much has changed since last Sunday when we were actually still able to gather together here in our beautiful sanctuary and worship. And for a time being, that's not going to be possible. But in spite of all the changes that go on in our world and are going on in our world, the one thing that we can hold on to without any doubt is God's faithfulness to each one of us. And so today, and until such time as we are able to be together in worship, Deacon Bill and I will be sharing prayers and lessons and a short message with you. And we're not totally sure what shape that will take. But it is truly not the same as being together in our sanctuary, giving praise and thanks to God. But Deacon Bill and I pray that this time together will help nourish your spirit and our spirit and give each one of us a sense of hope and peace for the week ahead. And so just a bit of levity. Deacon Bill and I definitely are sitting more than 6 feet apart. And our mic, everything has been sanitized. So we're ready to go. So we begin together in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Bend your ear to our prayers, Lord Christ, and come among us. And by your gracious life and death for each one of us, bring light into the darkness of our hearts and our souls, and anoint us with your Spirit. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. And a reading from 1 Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he's keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And a reading from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul and leads me in right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
In a reading from Ephesians, for once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 9th chapter. And I invite you to remain seated, and you can grin at that remark. So Deacon Bill and I will be sharing the reading of the Gospel today, because it's, again, one of those long ones. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work, and as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And he went and washed and came back able to see. And the neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? And some were saying, it is he. And others were saying, no, but it is someone like him. And he kept saying, I am the man. But they kept asking him, then how were your eyes opened? And he answered, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. Then I went and washed and received my sight. And they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know.
They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put mud on my eyes, then I washed, now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened. He said, he is a prophet.
The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he see? And his parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. And therefore, his parents said, he is of age, ask him.
So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out.
Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So my sermon today is going to be a little bit different than what I normally do on a Sunday morning, because today is not a normal Sunday morning. It is so very different. And as I look through the lessons, there are so many ways that I could have gone with it. But the thing that always jumps out at me when I read the 23rd Psalm is being anointed with oil. In the Hebrew scriptures, the kings were anointed with oil as a sign of God's favor. And in our baptism, you and I are anointed with oil. You know, there is nothing quite so soothing to dry, chapped skin as to rub some olive oil or any kind of oil into it, and it just becomes soft and supple again and almost becomes alive again. And when I read our Good Shepherd rubbing us with oil, anointing us with oil, first place I hear Jesus saying, "You are my chosen one. You are my child." But in baptism, the pastor says, "Child of God, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked at the cross of Christ forever." And in these really difficult times, I cling to those words because I know that no matter what, no matter how much I might get so angry with God or scared and turn away from God, God never, never, never turns away from us. That's super glue. And so what I'm going to do is offer a prayer for you. I can't anoint your head with oil. If you were here, I could. But I'd like you to just kind of sit back and relax while I read a prayer to you. And imagine my hand on your head, on your forehead, as I pray. Be still and know that I am God. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, send your Holy Spirit upon your beloved child, that in these days of great anxiety and the unknown, they may be filled and strengthened with your grace, and know the healing power and strength of your Spirit. Grant them comfort and peace when they are afraid. And loving God, we are afraid. Give them courage. And when afflicted, grant patience. When feeling dejected, give them hope. And when alone, assure them of your presence. Loving God, you have promised us. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, to the end of the age." We know and trust that there is nothing, nothing, nothing that can separate us from your love that we know in Christ Jesus. Be still and know that I am God. Amen. Praying separately in our homes and in together in the Spirit, let us pray for the church, the earth, the world, and all who are in such desperate need, responding to each petition with the words, "Hear our prayer." We pray for the church around the world. Strengthen all the baptized with the light of hope in you, despite an inability to gather for worship together. Guide bishops and pastors as they make decisions for their communities. Give pastors and deacons the courage to spread your word with mercy and might, even with it, though within their own hearts they too are trembling. And as at the Annunciation you sent an angel to bring good news to Mary, so now send angels to the world with your gospel of grace and love. O God, our shepherd, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. For those facing the coronavirus, we pray. Be present with those who contracted the virus, those who are quarantined, those stranded away from home, those who have lost their employment, and those who are filled with fear. Console those whose futures are disrupted or seem empty. Support health professionals and medical researchers as they address the pandemic. Comfort our distressed world. O God, you are our everlasting arms. In your mercy,
hear our prayer. For all in need, we pray. Remembering the story of the man born blind, we pray for all who are blind or of low vision. Heal those who suffer from anxiety and disease. Accompany all who today will die. Support physicians, nurses, therapists, home health aides, and all who tend to human bodies. Come quickly to all who seek your presence this day, especially those whose names we call out to you on our lips or in the silence of our hearts. God, our healer, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Lastly, for ourselves, we pray. Receive these prayers we offer in the silence of our hearts. O God, our hope, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. O God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, and thus we have confidence in your abiding presence. And we pray together as you taught us, using the familiar version. Our Father in heaven, hallowed
be your name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now, my dear brothers and sisters, hear the benediction. May the grace of Christ attend us, and the love of God surround us, and the Holy Spirit keep us now and ever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go now in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.